Blog Talk Radio.
Adore him. He's a friend, Ron Cole, and he is with us, and I'm going to let him talk in just a few minutes. And we also have the fabulous Kelly Coulter. She reads Atlantean life cards. She'll be on in the second half of our show. She goes from 2 to 3. She will be taking callers. So please, if you want to call in for Kelly, start calling about 5 of 2. And we have a fabulous show with Ron today. We've got a fabulous guest lineup for you, and I'll tell you that at the end of the show. But I am so excited to tell you a little bit about myself and to just tell everybody listening yesterday, We love our listeners, our callers. Our chat room was full. We had a fabulous guest, and we have fabulous people calling. Susan, my co-host, my fabulous Susan Z was with me, and it was a profound day. So if anybody was listening, and please go into the archives, it was a very exciting, very enlightening, very exhilarating experience for all of us who had witnessed the show. So please go in and listen. And I want to thank everybody and thank all of our callers, listeners, and chat room that were always with us today. Unfortunately, I do not have chat open because if you know me, I finally got chat open, and now I do not have the computer today because I did something to it yesterday, and now I can't get it to come up. But it'll be fixed by tomorrow. Anyway, I just want to tell you who I am. My name is Bonnie Albers. I am a spirit medium. I'm a registered nurse. I'm a legal nurse consultant, and I am a counselor. My specialty is love, romance, relationship, and sexual issues. I do have my own practice. I do see clients, and my favorite job on this earth plane is my spirit medium work. So, again, you can reach me. I do readings. I do counseling. And, you know, we have several shows on. I help with Susan opens the Akashic Records. We do past lives. That's our Monday and Tuesday show. But you can get me on Facebook. My name is Bonnie Mosenter Albers. Drop me a line. Let me know how you like our shows. Please like us on Blog Talk, and you will get notifications of all of our shows coming up. And please, you can send me an email at balbers714@AOL.com. And now I'm going to say hello to, hi, Ron.
Hi, Bonnie. A pleasure to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you, my sir, my birthday pal. Ron and I are born on the same birthday, years apart, maybe not that many years apart, but we are born on the same birthday. We both share our birthday, and we are cancers. So, and it's so funny because neither one of us can cook. But anyway, I do want to tell you that I do want to tell you that you can reach Ron. He's on with us weekly, and you can reach him. He also does readings. He does phone readings. He does email readings at livingastro@AOL.com. That's living, LIVING, astro, ASTRO, at AOL.com. He is a fabulous reader, and he's very busy. And if you want a reading from him or you want to, you know, chat with him, if you drop him a line, he'll let you know his phone number and how to get a hold of him. Ron, how are you this week?
Well, I'm getting ready for our upcoming Chinese New Year and the second new moon of January. This is very rare. Usually there's one a month, but we've got two in the month of January.
That's amazing. And you know what? I've got to tell you, you know this, but many of our people listening don't. My husband's birthday is Feb 1, so he will be transitioning into that Chinese New Year's this year. So please tell us about the Chinese New Year's. But wait, before you go telling us anything, you did take out your crock pot yesterday, unlike your partner here who doesn't cook, although I did use mine. How did it work out for you?
Well, I've been staring at it, and it's currently empty and not plugged in. So I'm going to take the big attempt after the show today to actually liven it up, plug it in, and put some food in there to cook.
Oh, Ron, you're just like me. You might as well give up. The one thing that I can do is crock pot sometimes. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I know that was personal, but I had to say it because both of us should be like homemakers, and neither one of us are. So please start and tell us about the Chinese New Year's and also the new moon, the second new moon that we have. So you go for it, Ron.
Well, there's a term called a blue moon, and that's normally applied to full moons. If you have two full moons in one month, the second one is called a blue moon. Well, actually, I extend that, and I say if you have two new moons in the same month, the second one is a blue moon. Although we can't see the moon, at the time of the new moon or lunation. That's when the sun and moon are sitting together in the same sign. I still consider that so rare that it's just, as the old saying, rare as the blue moon. Now, case coming up here, we had a new moon January 1st, New Year's Day in Capricorn, and the one coming up tomorrow is, on the 30th rather, is in Aquarius. Now, this is what's interesting. It's on the 30th for those of us in the United States, because the exact moment of the new moon will be at 9:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But at that moment of time, it's already the 31st in China. So they will say that the actual Chinese New Year is the 31st. But it's actually because of that country's already ahead of us in the time zones. Well, the Chinese New Year moves around each year. And people will say, well, why is it in February sometimes and now this year in late January? Well, it's always the day that the sun and moon come together and form the new moon in the sign of Aquarius. And since that moves around, it's not the same day, not even around the same time, the Chinese New Year will move around. And Easter does that too.
Well, can I ask you something, Ron? Why is it always on the day that Aquarius comes? I'm not quite understanding. So it can't be any other sign? It's just the new Aquarius?
Well, that's the interesting situation. I'm going back to try to research it because they do not use the Western Zodiac. They don't use the signs of Aquarius and Aries and Taurus. They use a sign of a year. In other words, one sign lasts for 1 year. And this one, by the way, is going to be the year of the horse, and the one ending is the year of the snake. Well, I believe it's just started as tradition to be on the new moon under the western sign of Aquarius. But the 12 animals of the Chinese zodiac, in which you're born into the year of the tiger, the year of the dog, were traditionally supposed to be the animals that arrived at Buddha when he had his illumination under the Bodhi tree. As he had that illumination, 12 animals came to him slowly one by one, and because of their coming to him, he granted them power and gave them 1 year of having influence over human life. And that's why we get these signs of the zodiac. The interesting one is the dragon. That was supposed to be the first creature that came to him, and of course, people say, well, that's a mythological creature, but it's actually the most important and, in a way, most powerful sign of the Chinese zodiac. And then we had the year of the snake. The snake came next, and then the horse, where we are now, then the sheep, and then it keeps going all the way through the rabbit, which would be the last one. Well, what is interesting is that because of this, people are born under the entire whole year of that animal's domain. So we are ending the year, any child born within the last 1 year would have been born under the year of the snake and now under the year of the horse. Now, they also add something else, Bonnie. They add an element with the name. There's a metal horse, there's a fire horse, there's a wood horse, which is like earth, there's an air horse, there's a rain horse or water horse. So in other words, there are five different ways to be born under the year of the horse. And I'm trying to get clarity because some people are saying this year is the year of the wood or green wood horse, and others are saying it's the year of the fire horse. So
yeah.
Each one is
different.
Slightly different.
Yeah, why
well,
is the
fire horse? The fire horse is not regarded highly by the Chinese. That's considered a year that they actually fear to give birth, and many women will do every single thing they can to prevent pregnancy and childbirth during the year of the fire horse. It has traditionally been an unlucky year. Now, that's tradition. I can't say that it really is that way, but that's the way that they believe, where the other horse elements are not considered fearful.
Wow. Well, you know what? I mean, listen, Ron, I am 8 fire signs, and you know, in the house of Leo, so they better not be afraid of fire signs, because if they are, hey, watch out, I'm coming.
Well, they do have the four traditional elements like we do, and they also have the fifth element of metal, which we don't recognize in the Western zodiac. But it is quite interesting. Now, Easter moves around each year, and people often say, well, why is it sometime in late March and then different days in April? Well, again, it's based on astrology. And how Easter is determined is, and here's the formula, once the spring equinox has occurred, okay, the sun enters the sign of Aries and spring has started in the northern hemisphere, once that happens, then they go to when the next full moon will occur after the spring equinox, and that day is noted, and then the first Sunday after that full moon will be Easter. So even people who don't understand why this moves around, it's based on an astrological combination of energies. So it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. And that's why this year is going to be very, very late.
Well, you know what? I love that, Ron. Well, you know, and last year I think it was in March. I'm not quite sure. It's so, I always wondered why it always moved around. Of course, you know, the Hebrew calendar does the same thing. So I always wondered why that moved around too. And then you have people saying, oh, astrology doesn't, you know, that's a myth. And yet everything is built. Even the solstice and all the equinoxes are built on astrology. So how, I don't ever understand how people can say that astrology doesn't exist because everything is built on it. So that's always, you know, been a conundrum of mine because I just can't figure out how anybody, I have to laugh at them because where did they think that all came from?
That's precisely right. Even on the globe of the earth, we see a line called the Tropic of Capricorn in the southern hemisphere and the Tropic of Cancer on the northern hemisphere. Well, it's at that point that the sun is directly lined up with those lines when the sun enters those signs. So for the northern hemisphere, the sun is directly overhead and lined up with that sign with the way the angle of the earth is tilted when the sun enters the sign of Cancer, which is around, give or take a day, the 21st of June. And then in the southern hemisphere, the earth is angled and the sun is directly lined up with that line, the Tropic of Capricorn, when the sun enters Capricorn and give or take a day around the 21st of December. And why I say give or take a day, some years we have leap year and that kind of throws the days off slightly because we have that extra year, but it's always around the 21st of those 2 months. So even on the globe of the earth, we have lines that are named after astrological connections.
You know what? You know how I feel about Capricorn, and oh, I love people. Don't get me wrong. I love Capricorns. My husband has a Capricorn moon, which I got to cringe at. But why did they pick Capricorn and Cancer to do the Tropic of? Could they have done the Tropic of Sagittarius and the Tropic of Aquarius?
Discovered that any land masses that are on those lines or between those lines in the equator would be the tropics of the world. So if you would go to the northern hemisphere to the Tropic of Cancer, that line is about 23.5 degrees above the equator, and then look down to the southern hemisphere to the Tropic of Capricorn, it's the same distance, about 23.5 degrees below the equator, and you would take all of the land masses all around the globe that exist between those two tropic lines. Those indicate tropical, full, complete tropical countries, islands, and nations in the world. So those lines actually define the tropic countries of our planet.
That is so interesting. Why I have this show is because I think astrology is the forefront, the crux, the baby of everything that came next. And even though I didn't study it so hard, and like I told you, I read Idiot's Guide to Astrology, I understand how important and life-altering and changing astrology actually is and was for even the beginning of time. So it just thrills me that I am able to even talk astrology to an astrologist. I know that you wanted to talk also about aspects. or not aspects, ascendants, and why they might change.
Yes, everybody has got a rising sign or an ascendant as the focus beginning point of their astrological birth chart. And this is the astrological sign that was rising or coming up over the eastern horizon at the moment of your birth. In other words, at the moment you took your first breath, if you would take the eastern sky and the eastern earth where they would meet, the eastern horizon, and extend that part pointing out to space, it would be pointing towards a sign of the zodiac. And there's no breaks. One sign will end, the next one will start instantly, and it'll continue in a band around the earth. Well, this is called the ascendant or rising sign. And in different parts of the world, different ascendants take longer to rise and some take shorter to rise. So for those of us born in the northern hemisphere, the signs of Cancer, Leo, Virgo especially, Libra and Scorpio take longer to rise. The average rising sign takes 2 hours from the time it starts rising to the time it's finished and the next sign starts. Well, these signs take over 2 hours. In fact, Virgo is the longest ascendant of all in the northern hemisphere. It can take 3 hours from the time
it starts rising.
Well, that means people with those ascendants in the northern hemisphere, see?
That's so interesting. And Virgo, oh my goodness, now I know why it takes so long. Because Virgo is very meticulous. If I can pick out any other characteristics, Virgos are picky. They're, you know, very detail-oriented, which makes only sense to have more, you know, Virgos, because actually we need Virgos in order to really hone in on, you know, the meticulous, the daily, the, you know, it can go from one way to the other. But I just, that's so interesting because Virgos are tough, you know, they're tough to have in your chart to me because I'm such a Sag and I'm such a Cancer. And I always think that Virgos are very, very detail-oriented. They're meticulous people. You know, they have great qualities. I wish I had some. But it's interesting that we would have more Virgos, actually. Isn't that
more Virgos rising because of the sign of Virgo taking the longest to rise. So in the northern hemisphere, there are more people with Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, and Scorpio rising proportionally than the other six signs. And there are less numbers of people born with Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces especially, Aries, and Taurus. Those signs take under 2 hours to rise. They are a shorter ascendant. In fact, for the northern hemisphere, the sign of Pisces can start and finish in 45 minutes, in less than an hour.
Oh, my.
So that means there are less people in the northern hemisphere with Pisces rising, 45 minutes on the average, and more with Virgo rising, 3 hours each day on the average. Now, you flip this around. For the southern hemisphere, Bonnie, it's just the opposite. Pisces is the longest ascendant of all and can take 3 hours, like in Australia and other countries in the southern hemisphere. And Virgo is the shortest ascendant in the southern plains. So that means you have less people with that ascendant. That might take 45 minutes. So depending on where you are in the world, some signs take a lot of time to rise and some take a shorter time to rise.
That's amazing. I mean, to me, that is just so amazing. I wonder, you know, Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio are the most sensitive, supposedly, signs that there are. They're water signs, right, Ron? And
yes, they're the most sensitive.
And they also have the most, and I'm not going to say that they're the only, because I know plenty of very, very powerful medium psychics and intuitives that aren't, but you find a lot of them with a lot of water. And so I wonder, and I mean, I'm just saying this out loud here, if the southern hemisphere is, you know, got, you know, Australia and all those, I wonder if they actually have more of the sensitive, intuitive, psychic personalities than we do in the northern hemisphere.
Well, proportionally, absolutely they should, because the Pisces is the longest descendant. It takes about 3 hours every day to rise. And right next to it is Aquarius, which also takes just under 3 hours, 2.5 to 3 hours. That's a very common and long rising ascendant. And Aquarius is very open to energy vibrations and intuitive understanding, where Pisces is open to psychic sensitivity. So proportionally, there are way more people born with those ascendants in the southern hemisphere than in the northern. And in the northern, we have signs like Virgo rising, which is more detailed, meticulous, health-orientated. We've got signs like Libra rising, you know, putting things more in balance. You know, things are very interesting because it is possible to have any one of the 12 ascendants now in any hemisphere. I know many people born in northern countries and cities that have Pisces rising, but it's just interesting they happen to have been born at that little fraction of time, of that 45 minutes of time of that whole day and night in which Pisces was rising.
That is so interesting. And, you know, I don't believe in coincidences, and I don't think you do either. So if you are born, my girlfriend, Susan, is she's my I call her Delta Susan. She is double Pisces. So it's interesting. She, you know, because if I didn't realize it was only 45 minutes till she could be born, so she could be a double Pisces. Is that, like, cool?
Yes, see, that she would be born in that rare time frame in which perhaps the sun and the ascendant were both in Pisces. And, of course, everyone must understand that can happen. Every country and every part of the world will have an exposure to every sign of the zodiac, but clock time-wise, we are more likely to have Virgos and signs either side of Virgos in the northern hemisphere, and clock time-wise, we are more likely to have Pisces rising and signs either side of that in the southern hemisphere. If one would move to Sydney, Australia from New York City and would do astrology readings, they would find Pisces ascendants one after another coming in as clients. And they would find very few Virgo ascendants.
That is so cool. What about Sag? You know, I'm such a Sag girl. Even though I'm a Cancer, you know that my rising sign is Sagittarius, and I always feel much more Sag than I do Cancer. How about Sagittarius? Are we just like thrown in the big pile, or do we have more Sages or less Sages in the Northern Hemisphere?
That's a wonderful question. It's been noted that the signs of Sagittarius rising and Gemini rising, the opposite of that, six signs away, are balanced. Those are the two signs that there is an equal proportion of people on the northern hemisphere as well as the southern hemisphere having as ascendants. Those signs don't necessarily line up with the equator, but you could almost symbolically think that they do, because the equator, of course, represents balance between northern and southern hemisphere. It's almost as if those signs are like on the equator, an average for each hemisphere. So one thing that's interesting, you have Sagittarius rising born in the northern hemisphere, and there's equally as many people with Sagittarius rising born in the southern hemisphere.
Well, I just think that's too cool because, you know, Sages, I mean, you can give all the examples. They're funny. They're fun. They're fun-loving. They are good starters but not finishers. I can give you all the qualities that I love. Now, you know, your other signs, like I'm sure you're going to say, has a factor to do in there too. But Sag people, I mean, like I said, I'm a Sag. Sometimes it, you know, gets in the way with really working and really trying to take a serious, you know, a look at life. But I'll tell you, I just always feel that way. My son's Sagittarius, I'm Sag rising. I just love that sign. Sag and Scorpio with my Cancer seem to be, you know, really good for me.
Very good. That would make a lot of sense. And people just think astrology is just astrology and that you're born under the sun sign of. And when people ask you in restaurants, bars, parties, what's your sign? And you respond, let's say, I'm a Leo, let's just say that. You're actually responding to what your sun sign is. That has nothing to do with your rising sign and the hour and minute of birth. That's based on the fact that around the 21st of each month, That's when the sun enters a new sign, such as when spring starts, 21st of March, autumn, 21st of September, for the northern hemisphere, that is. So around the 21st, the sun enters the sign and stays there for 1 month. And that's easy to understand because it's convenient and it's regular. But most people, unless they've had an astrology chart done or studied some astrology, don't realize that they have an ascending sign based on the hour and minute of birth and the location of the world they were at when they were born.
That is so interesting. And then I know that I have, and everybody, of course, has a moon. And I never could quite understand what the moon meant, but I know that it's very important, your moon sign, does that change too? Is that go every 2 hours, or how does that one work?
Well, the moon stays in the sign about every 2.5 days and then shifts to another one and again stays about another 2.5 days, and that's on the average. Sometimes it's closer to the Earth, and sometimes it's further away from the Earth, and therefore it can move faster or slower. But it still averages around 2.25 to 2.5 days. And the moon is related to your emotions. It's related to how you express your emotions, how you show your emotions, your emotional makeup. And it's also related a lot to how you deal with your past memories, your past experience, past events. And it's a lot connected to your mother. It's describing a lot about your relationship with your mother and her characteristics and personality and the mother's side of the family, the lineage and inheritance from her side of the family. So the moon is very, very important.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just like realizing, and like I said, I've read Idiot's Guide to Astrology, Ron, and you know I love astrology, so the more I know and the more that keeps coming back in my head, because, see, I can't remember from 1 minute to the next, is that, you know, if you look at it, your sun sign, I know, I said something to somebody today that that my attention span is the length of a flea, and they laughed, and I said, but I try really hard, so that flea might, like, last a while, but for some reason, it's always been there, and I'm able to, you know, function and do work and be very highly, you know, successful. But I don't. I think 10 years through Sunday, I can do 8 things at once for some reason. But I will tell you that what I'm learning, especially today, and I didn't really put it all together, is that your sun sign really is your base. But your rising and your moon that changes every 2 hours is actually much more about you and your personality, because if it changes every 2 hours and not every 30 days, it must be important to why you've been, you know, have that sign in your chart.
Yes, and I want everyone to remember this. Until World War I, there was no such thing as what sign are you born under or what sun sign are you under. That has been an invention that was created by a British tabloid. Until World War I, for all of the centuries leading up to it, the sign coming over the eastern horizon was the most important thing for an individual, the rising sign. And that's what everyone determined as the important energy, because each rising sign looks different, acts different, and has different emanating energy than the others. And because of this, this can explain why two parents having the same genetic contribution to producing children can produce one child that's very, very tall and maybe even having red or blondish red hair, and another one that's just average to short in height with dark hair, because each ascendant looks different. And not only that, whatever planet's in the first house, which is just below the ascendant, will affect your physical appearance also. So the ascendant has always been, from antiquity, the single most important thing in the astrology chart. Now, I want to briefly mention this brief British tabloid. A tabloid was about to go under, an astrology tabloid in Britain. They were just about to close shop, and they came up with the idea, we produce one magazine a month, why not produce the magazine on the sun sign of the month, and we'll just have the cover saying, what's your sign? And then they would highlight a sign of the month. And so they would do a magazine devoted completely to the energies and characteristics of that sign. not only did that catch on and become so popular, that spread around the world as what astrology is. You're born under the sign of Leo, like I just said earlier, the sign today of Aquarius. You're born under this sign, and it was completely forgotten by the bulk of people that astrology was not based on the month you were born, but rather based on the hour and minute of your birth and all of the planets, not just the sun, that were in that particular graphic alignment with your city at the moment you came into birth. So sun signs were pushed into the back seat and pushed to the front and made the prominent energy, and rising signs and whole chart patterns were pushed to the back seat. And that created this nonsense, and it is nonsense, of the sun sign columns and the sun sign predictions, because that's not individual.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I do, and then I know we've got a chart here we want to do, but I'll tell you what I do because of that, and I never can figure out really what I am. I read all three. So I will do my sun sign, and then right afterwards I read my ascendant, and then I read my moon, and I kind of put it together. And, you know, it's really interesting because sometimes they actually match. So that's what I usually do when I'm reading, articles or about my astrology. I'll always put my ascendant after I read my sun sign. So do you think that helps people who are looking to see reading astrology?
First. Well, the ascendant is how you come across. It's the way people see you. It's the way you emanate your vibrationary energy to the world. It's what you look like. So the ascendant is very, very important, and it has a very strong rubber stamp on the character.
I am so happy. I love that, and now I'll know. I'll start reading Sagittarius first, and I love Sag.
Right.
So I know we have a chart, and let me explain to everybody. This chart is Spirit Wind's chart, and I know you all remember Spirit Wind. He is the poet that was on my show a few weeks ago. He's a Native American poet. He is a fabulous, fabulous, heartfelt, very interesting, very nice, very emotional, his poems they move mountains. And actually he had his Akashic Records open, and he was a very famous, he's the direct descendant of a very famous Native American Indian. So I know that Spirit Wind is listening. He could not call us in today, but Ron, you go for it, because I want to hear his chart, and we do have permission to read his chart.
Well, Spirit Winds, I've set up the chart based on the information you gave me, and I will keep those information data points private. I don't ever mention city, date, and time, but at the hour and minute of your birth, the sign of Cancer was rising, one of those ascendants that's more common in the northern hemisphere, and you were born with the moon in the first house, the house just below, or segment just below the rising sign. Now, this is interconnected because the sign of Cancer is ruled by the moon, and so the moon falling in that house with that ascendant, they interconnect like a needle and thread sews two pieces of cloth together. This is fascinating for emotional energy, emotional receptivity, and emotional vibrationary conceptualization. Number one, you're very sensitive to the energies of places. Cancer is the sign that does rule the home. And we think of it just being inside a dwelling, inside a house, inside a kitchen. Well, it's connected to all of that. That's true. But it's also connected to sensitivity to vibrations in places, even if there isn't a dwelling there, such as places in nature and places in the environment. So you do have a natural-born vibrationary sensitivity to locationary places. And this is fascinating because the sign of Cancer and the moon mean the same thing. This represents a strong link to the past because the moon is connected not only to all the things I said earlier, it's connected to the past in our past lives, the past in our present life. So the moon is also nostalgic, where we remember things and think back in a sentimental way. So you've got a very powerful chart in this lifetime linking you to the past in other lifetimes. And that's the combination of energies here. Yes.
I just want everybody to be clear. Did you get his Cancer, his rising sign, or
his rising sign?
The
moon is in Leo. Leo is the moon, and the sun sign is Aries. Based on the month and day and year of birth, the sun was in Aries at the time of birth. But the rising sign is Cancer, and the moon is in Leo. Now, many people may say, I thought you said that the sign of Cancer was rising and the moon was just below it in the first house. Well, it is, but it was a later degree of Cancer rising, and the moon happened to be in an early degree of Leo. So there is a Leo moon and an Aries sun. So both the sun and moon are in fire signs. Now, with all of this linked to the past, this chart is humongously linked to the energy of fire. In the element of fire, there are five things, and the average person in the world has two or three. Fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. And here's how many planetary bodies are in those three signs. The Sun, Mercury, Saturn, the Moon, and Jupiter. Now that is a tremendous amount. When you're dealing with 10 points, Sun, Moon, 8 planets, plus the ascendant 11, and you have 5 of them in one element, that means that in this lifetime, your soul is working on the fire energy. You've come from a very strong reservoir of spirit energy from the past and sensitivity to vibrations, which you always will have. But in this lifetime, you're working on pushing ahead, thrusting ahead. Your energy, although the name spirit winds is connected to you, it's a wind that is moving. It's a wind that has a direction to it. It's a wind, and I say forceful, I don't mean that it's aggressive, hurricane-like, but I mean it's a wind that has an aggressive agenda where it's moving and stimulating and driving forth. Now, you are born under the sign of Aries, so if you didn't look at the whole chart, that's the only thing you'd be talking about is that you're born under Aries. Well, you've got Sun in Aries and Saturn in Aries sitting right next to each other. And that has some mixed energies to deal with, okay? Number one, as time passes, you will get more and more successful. But in the early part of the life, even the first half of the life, you will have a lot of delays, a lot of challenges, a lot of stumbling blocks, and a lot of hurdles to get through. Saturn rewards one as they get older, but it doesn't reward you when you're younger. It tends to be a stern schoolmaster or schoolmarm that hits your knuckles with the ruler. And what do I mean by that? It means that there can be a lot of difficulty in the first half of your life. There could be poverty. There could be self, because the sun deals a lot with what you're, and when I say ego, that's a word everyone thinks of, egotism, but ego in the sense of the power of you yourself, what you think of yourself, and the power of you as a leader. When Saturn is near the sun, it can squelch that power and put out that fire and give you less self-worth than what you actually should be expressing for the capacity of this type of chart. You will get much better self-worth, self-understanding, and self-confidence as time goes on. There can be great times in your life in which you're down to very little when you're in the first half of the life and you're scrimping to just get by. Now, this will not always be the case. It's caused by the sun near Saturn in Aries. Now, this is a very challenging combination because Saturn is in its fall in Aries, which means it's in a sign that it's not comfortably placed in, and it's in a sign in which it can be more potentially toxic or challenging. So this is all planned for this lifetime. Here's what it means.
Wow.
It means you've come out of a past life or a series of past lives, in which sensitivity to energies, sensitivity to vibrations were being developed more and more each life, and you became greater and more powerful, greater and more empowered, greater and more of a leader, greater and more in handling leadership and leadership decisions. Now, it doesn't mean your soul fell off a cliff. It meant that now you're having like a little bit of a loop cycle in which you're having the first half of this life working off a lot of karma from past lives, not just the one before this one, but even in a whole plethora series of past lives. And you'll get a lot of that worked off and moved on about the time when you reach 40 to 45. And then the second half of the life takes over because you've got a very long-lived chart. You've got the sun, which is the giver of life next to Saturn, the one that not requires but sends forth longevity. So you could easily live into your 90s with this chart. So 40
wow.
to 45 would be the turning point from first half of the life to the second half. And the second half of life will be as totally different as the first half was, that it would almost be like two embodiments, two separate lifetimes. The second one is bringing you back to a certain amount of power, but this power in this life isn't handling power like a boss, like a leader, like a chief, like an administrator. It's power of what you are capable of expressing to the world and bringing forth to others. Now, let me explain that complicated comment. It's power from within, power that you have to write, power that you have to create beautiful words and expressions, power that you have to bring forth, to trigger others to be stimulated by your words, by your writing, by your visualizations, by your flow, by your comments. You've got great power to be a catalyst to trigger forth other people's, not just imaginations and fantasies, but other people's understandings and awareness. In past lives, you held positions of power, but in the role of a leader, in the role of a person of power. In this life, you will have power to write, power to create, power to do artistic things, power to bring beauty into the world for others to be, not just be, you know, enjoy listening to or reading, but having great stimulation on their consciousness to open up energies within them. But it takes that time. Now, Mercury, let me see here, I'm going to be sure. Mercury was also in Aries, but it was not exactly where Saturn and the sun was. You've got Venus in your chart in Pisces. Now, that's a particularly good placement to have Venus in because Venus is exalted in Pisces. It's in a very comfortable energy when it's in that sign. And that's an energy that can tap into universal love. Venus is connected to the concept of love in any of its forms, brotherly love, love of the heart, heart song love, love between two people, or universal love. And in Pisces, Venus is connecting to universal love, love of the spirit, love of spirit energy, and how that love can be transcended down into the human level through works that you are capable of doing, artistic works, writing works, poetic works, beautiful works and teaching. You have the ability to transform universal love and keep it still universal and bring it down to the level of other people's conscious understanding of it. I noticed that you've got Venus conjunct Chiron. Now, Chiron is kind of a controversial thing in astrology. It's not a planet, but it is used by many astrologers. It's a planetoid, a small planetary body that orbits between Saturn and Uranus. And it takes 51 years to go around the zodiac. So everyone, when they're 51, Chiron in space is back at the same spot it was when they were born. Well, your Chiron is 0 degrees Aries, and your Venus is 28 degrees Pisces. So they're connected, but at different signs. They're one at the ending of one sign, the other at the beginning of the other. Now, Chiron is where you are wounded. Chiron represents healing. Chiron represents transformationary healing of wounds, and it's like symbolically a wound turning into a scab and finally healing and have normal skin there. That's one transformationary energy that Chiron works. But what it represents is wounds in your life, in this life or in past lives, that still can have a scab there. You have the ability to transform them into healing. Now, what about Venus near Chiron? You have that ability to create words and writing so that other people can have their wounds healed, to have other people stimulated so much from what you are contributing in commentaries to the world that you can trigger healing of long-existing wounds and long-existing scabs in people's lives and souls and bodies. So Chiron is where you transform. He's nicknamed the wounded healer in astrology because there is a healing energy to Chiron. In mythology, he was a centaur, kind of like the symbol of Sagittarius, half horse, half man, but he was the greatest healer of anyone in existence. He could heal any disease, he could heal any issues, but he had a problem healing himself. So wherever you have Chiron, you have the ability to produce healing for others in the world, and it isn't necessarily medicinal healing. Now, you've got a very loaded career house. You've got Saturn up there, the Sun up there, Mars, the ruler of your chart, being an Aries, up there. So your chart shows really projectile success as time and life goes on. And this may seem highly remote from today's date, but you've got Jupiter in your house of money, house number 2, and it trines your Sun and it trines your Saturn, which is the luckiest aspect of all. And this indicates that you can actually end up in the latter years of this life very well known and very wealthy. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to say, money, money, I have to have money, give me money. It means that it's going to come to you in time, Jupiter's retrograde, delayed, as your life progresses from its challenging cycle to its flowing cycle. And you're fairly young looking at this chart. I'm not going to reveal your age, but it's not too much longer till you make that transition point from that challenging part of the life into the flowing and recognized part of the life. I predict, looking at a chart like this, that eventually you're not only going to get well-known, you're not only going to get heavily respected, your work and creativity in the world will be heavily desired by others, and you will be therefore rewarded financially and do well financially. Right now, this may absolutely make no sense at all, but the chart shows that there is financial remuneration and even abundance coming in your life from this trine from Jupiter in the second house to the Sun and Saturn in the 10th house. Now, the Moon represents your mother, and your mother has a powerful influence on you, more than you would sometimes care to admit. Cancer rising, often very connected to the mother, but you've got a double wall up here. You've got the Moon, the ruler of the mother, in your first house, the ruler of the sign of Cancer. And so your mother can have a lot of say-so over you even now in your life, now past, well past your childhood. And your mother can sometimes make or break things for you. If you want to have a situation to go somewhere, she could sometimes say no. And she could sometimes prevent you, or she could sometimes block you financially. Other times she can say yes, and opportunities there. She still has a certain amount of controlling influence. Now, why is that so? Well, it's because of the placement of the Moon, and the Moon in the dominant sign of Leo, and the way the Moon and the Ascendant are lined up in the chart. It does not mean that your mother is an antagonistic energy in your life. It just means that there is a powerful, powerful interconnection between the two of you, and that a lot of this was karmic patterning from a past life, or past lives, plural. The person who is your mother in this lifetime is someone that you've had a very strong mixed bag of good and bad karmic connections from past lives. Karma of control and control issues. is perhaps the negative side of the relationship between yourself and your mother. And it's not you controlling her, it's her controlling you. This is from that Leo moon making the certain aspects that it does. The Leo moon squaring Mars and Taurus almost exactly. The person who is your mother was somebody who in a past life, through your decisions, and I'm not putting this burden on your shoulder, I'm just saying this is what the situation shows, through your decisions or your direct connection, somehow restricted her power, and she may have been in a male body then, or her role of empowerment. And in this life, she has a tendency to be overpowering where you are concerned. Now, you are an Aries. That is a very fiery sign. That is a sign that thrusts ahead. That's a sign that keeps on trudging no matter what the situation is, no matter how challenging the roadblocks are. It's a sign symbolized by a ram with its head turned downward and forcibly moving onward, kind of like the battering ram that was used in the Middle Ages to batter down the walls of castles and that. So you do have the power to keep on going, and you do have five fire signs. Now, you do not have any planets in air signs, and air signs are Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra. And Aquarius is air. Sometimes people get surprised at that. Now, what does that mean? It means that you're going to draw to you a lot of people with planets in Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra, or born under the sun sign of Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra. And when a person lacks an element, that element comes to them through external sources in the world, such as through other people. And air represents intelligence, very high levels of communicationary prowess. So you're going to draw to you, throughout your life, very intelligent people, very talented people with high levels of using their knowledge. And they will be one of the greatest helping forces for you because they will set up situations to help you. They will set up situations to give you an idea to say, hey, try this, or why don't you contact this person, or why don't you go here? They will be the catalysts for many direct patterns for you to deal with. Now, there are two other elements, earth and water, and you're balanced in those. You have three in earth and three in water. Now, your chart is interesting. It's the chart of a butterfly or a bird. When you look at your chart, there's a cluster of planets up near the top of the chart, top to top right, and then there's a cluster of planets in the lower bottom to lower left, and they are exactly opposite each other like the wings of a bird or the wings of a butterfly are. And so it can be described as a butterfly chart or a bird chart, and the thing they have in common is those wings flutter or move. And that's a sign that especially in the second half of your life, not only will you be well called upon for the talents that you have to contribute to the world and even become quite wealthy from it, like I said, but you will travel around a lot. You will travel around to different locations. You will travel around to present the qualities of what you're capable of doing to the world. The thing with having Cancer rising and the moon in the first house is you can consciously channel. You can just sit there and suddenly a flow of words, a flow of visualizations, a flow of expression comes through you, and the next thing you know, you just write it down, and it just comes through you like a river flows through its bank. That's a great talent that you will always have and be one of the stepping stones for success in this life. Interestingly enough, Aries is usually a very aggressive, temperamental, impatient, hurry-up, rash type of sign. And Cancer is often a very sensitive, moody, patient, reticent, sometimes even shy type sign. So it may look like Aries with Cancer rising kind of opposes each other. But in reality, they are they actually harmonize each other because you've got the sun near Saturn. Now, Bonnie, I've just been going on and on and on a lot. Do you have any comments or anything about this here at the ending?
I have to tell you, I'm in awe because I don't know if you, I'm a spirit when I just got a text from, so I'm hoping he's listening. But he has been in poverty. He has had it, and he actually has lived most of his life in the wind. He's very into nature. He lives on the land. He has been as poor as living in his car, as much as having, you know, a room, and he has written a book. And he is so, I feel, and why I put him on, and I want to tell Kelly, I know you're there, and I'm going to pick you up in 1 minute. I know I'm running late. I do want to tell you that before I say goodbye to you, Ron, because I love you to death, I picked this man up because I felt the power of the channeling that he was doing with his poetry. I know he channels spirit right from, if he explains to you why he can write, it's all from his feelings, but he doesn't know where it's coming from. And I believe, and I know, and from this chart I know, that it is being channeled through him. So would you say that I was correct?
I think you hit the nail on the head. Conscious channeling, he could be totally awake and the flow of energy comes through him. He has no air signs in his chart, and yet his name is Spirit Winds. So that makes sense because the energy of the lack of air even comes through in the very name that he has.
I know, and now I've got to ask you one other question before, because I know Spirit Wind will, and it's interesting with his Venus. Do you see anything in his seventh house?
Seventh house is Capricorn at 24 degrees even. Looking at that house, there aren't any planets there, and that's the house ruled by Saturn, and there's Saturn up there near the sun. So there tends to be a delay when Capricorn is on the seventh house for a relationship or a lasting relationship, or they can have maybe a short-term one or a few short-term ones before there is the solidarity of one. But this tends to be an aspect that shows a certain amount of restriction, but like the transition from the first half to the second half of the life, that also gets resolved.
I am
that
so
means that
happy.
When you get in the second half, the relationship can be just as much as the flow with his work and success.
I am so happy to hear that, and I know if Spirit Wind's listening, he will understand this. This is so powerful of a chart. I am in awe, Ron, of what you read, because what you read is exactly where his life is, and you wouldn't know that. And I am just I'm blown away by what you've said, because the second half of his life, he is going to be, I can feel it, very well-known, very affluent. He will not worry about living in his car or where he's living, and it'll all be from the talent, the channeling of for the universe to heal, because that's what his words do from everybody that reads them of all different types, from rich to poor, from, you know, American Indian to any religion you can think of. He has crossed those barriers, and I know that he is destined for great things. That's why I am happy that he was on our show.
And that's why he will work off that Sun-Saturn conjunction, work off its harder side, and transition into its financial and work production side.
Well, Ron, I am so grateful for you to do this reading. I know Spirit Winwood is grateful, and I'm sure you'll hear from him. I am going to tell you that he texted me, and I don't know, because I'm on the air, what he said. So, Spirit Wind, if you're listening, you need to really archive this. And I will help you if you need to understand this chart. So I am so happy, Ron. I'm going to pick up Kelly in just a minute. But I want to thank you again for your awesome, fabulous, and insightful astrology and readings. And we know every Wednesday you're back to do exactly the same thing. I know next week we've got your chart D. You know who you are. Ron will be reading your chart next week, and we will be welcome and expect you to be on the air with us at 1:30 in the afternoon. So, again, Dee, Ron will be doing your chart next week. Ron, thank you. You are an awesome, awesome astrologist and a friend and my birthday pal. And I thank you once again, sir, for being on the show.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. And Kelly, I am picking you up right now. Kelly girl.
Hey.
Hi.
I have
I'm
really
so
enjoyed this.
To...
Like, I'm
I
happy
know.
To be here. Ron has so much. It's like I sit here and listen every week, and it's something different. I'm going, you know, it's like these are like this is like taking the class. This is like you know, this is like the class in astrology. This is just awesome.
Well, you know what, Kelly? If you would like to, because he wants to, for people who are into astrology, if you'll tell him what. Go to livingastro.com and send him a little note of what you'd like him to talk about. He would love that because he's asking me to ask anybody that's into astrology what you all want to hear. He has studied astrology and taught advanced astrology for the last 30, I won't even say it because then you would know how old he was, years or so.
He's in our generation.
And he looks like... He looks like a young guy, and he's not much older than me. So, but anyway, he has studied it, and really he wants to – he teaches courses in it. So if you – and I know you, Kelly, and I know Brooke, you're all into astrology. Please send him a note and tell him what you'd like to hear. That'll help him, you know, to what he's
cool.
going to talk about. Yeah, so I love that. Well, Kel, talking about you, I love you, girlfriend. You are my Atlantean life card reader, and I think you're awesome. I know I haven't talked to you since the last show, and you wanted to talk to me. So please, I know you're moving.
We keep missing connections, man. Like
I know I don't love. I know I don't love that, Cal. So you know, honey, just call me because I waited for you to call me because I didn't know what your schedule's like and I don't know where you are between house one and house two. So if you just
me
call
either.
Me, I love. Yeah, I love talking to you. No pressure. Just give me a call. I'm always here for you. So what I want to tell everybody, and I am going to take a quick break because you know where I'm going to the potty. So I'm going to let you talk. Can you please tell everybody before I take that caller? Actually, I'll wait and put a caller on for you. But can you please tell everyone what you do and where they can reach you and about your shows and when they might be coming back on?
Back on, okay. Let's see. Easiest place to reach me right now is on my phone, my one and only. I have a business phone. It has the coffee infomercial. It's 719-289-4907. And you can bypass the infomercial, but you do have to leave your name and your number because I'm not that psychic to be able to pick up people's names and numbers if you don't leave me a message.
Oh, now, Kelly, girl, darling, you are really not giving yourself enough credit. Except I'm not good at, like, putting the jumbled numbers together either because you could be calling those seven numbers. You might get the numbers, but they might not be all in order. So, everyone, if you want to get a hold of Kelly and you'd like a reading from her and she'll tell you how much it is and what you need to do, just leave a message on her phone. Kelly, I love you. And if you go into, I'm going to take the caller first. And if you go into, I'm going to tell the caller, you're going to tell her what you do and how you read because I do want to go take a potty break. So let me get your first caller on. I am going to take, I don't see, one of the callers called for you and she said she would call back at 2 o'clock. And the number began with a 219-6414 was the end. I do not see her on, so if she does come on, I'll put her back on. But I am going to take the first number, which is 512, and the last four numbers are 2777. You are on. Hi, this is Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing fabulous. Kelly and I would love to know who we're talking to.
My name is Melissa, and I'm calling from Austin.
Hi, Melissa. Oh, my goodness. We love Austin. I think it's cold there for you, though, right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like culture shock here.
Well,
we are not used to having snow days.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I know I love this, and I'm going to tell you real quick before I hand you over to Kelly, and then Kelly's going to tell you what she does, is we're not used to having that kind of snow in Florida, and the panhandle has snow. So I'm going to tell you, snow, Texas is in trouble when Florida has snow. So I'm going to hand you over to Kelly. Kelly, girl, you're used to being the host, so you go for it, and I will be right back. I'll be about 2 minutes, okay?
All righty. Sounds good. Okay, well, what I need is just your month and your day and your current age.
April 4th, and I am 38.
April 4th. All righty. You know, I have a daughter-in-law who was born April 4th. That's pretty cool. I happen to know that one just out the gate without even looking. That is a four of spades. And let's see. And it also, it's an eight of spades as a planetary ruler. So let me see here. Four of spades. The spades are the, forgive me, the old people of the deck. And I can say this because I'm a spade person also. So. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm... in general, is I will get, well, see, and you've got, you're getting to the end part of your year here. Because with this system, what it is, it goes from your birthday to your birthday. That is called your personal year. And it's different for everybody, you know, each day of the year. So on the 4th, and like I say, come back into the archives and pick this up. But your Mercury time frame, each of the planets that I mentioned, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, is allowed like 52 days as a planetary influence. And it's like, and it has corresponding cards that go with it, which are kind of indicators for, you know, what might possibly be happening, you know, with you. So in your Mercury time frame, of course, that was from your birthday, and that goes till May 26th. Your Venus time frame starts May 26th, and it goes until July 17th, and that's when Mars starts, is July 17th. And Mars goes to July 17th to September 7th. And then your Jupiter time frame starts September 7th, and it goes until October 29th. Saturn starts on October 29th and goes to December 20th. The Uranian time frame starts December 20th, and it goes until February 11th. So that's currently where you're at in your year, kind of far along in it. And then your Neptune time frame goes from February 11th until your next birthday. So kind of, you know, generically that's where you're at. And then we'll take a look and see what kind of stuff has been happening for you and what might possibly end up, and might just take a peek into what next year is going to bring. Since this,
Hi!
We'll say, hey, she's back.
I'm back.
You know, you're back. To kind of call back in, you know, when it's the start of your year, because you get a whole lot more out of it, I'll put it that way. This year, for your overall, your long range, you have had a King of Clubs in your long range. And usually that is a year of mastering things. And for you, let's see here what that King of Clubs has brought for you. And it's just, it's kind of where the long range is kind of where your focus is at. It means that you're going to be successful in a lot of ways, that your mind power is strong. Success can be yours in any of the mental fields, like, you know, teaching, writing, management, some kind of communications, you know, just by applying what you know. There is really no limit to what you can achieve this year. Any involvement that you might have with legal matters would be successful. Using that influence to take a leadership position in your area of expertise is, you know, kind of like now's the time, you know. So this is what you probably needed to be working on all year. And it's like, if you haven't, you still got a little bit of time left. The King of Clubs, as a card, it's someone who wields a lot of power and authority through either their acquired or developed knowledge. And this year might see you having a lot to do with such a person, or else you are displaying and dealing with the side of your own personality. As a king, that person demands the respect of others. They usually get it. Often they're found as a head of either some kind of business or establishment. You know, if you're not in business for yourself, you know, it's a good time to be entrepreneurial and, you know, head your own business. In any case, these are people who live by their own truth. They do not like interference from others. You can find yourself exhibiting some or all of those characteristics this year, and that can be applied with a lot of success in your work. And it's especially good if your work, again, involves, like, you know, writing, communications, publishing, teaching, speaking. Any mental type of endeavor is bound to meet with success as a result of that influence. The key words for this year would have been a year of much success in all areas where application of knowledge and mental discernment are concerned. I take a commanding role in some areas of communication. So if you have not yet done that, now is a good time to do it.
Oh, let's see here. What else has been going on for you? You've had a five hearts back in Mercury, which is Mercury is kind of the short-lived planet. It's like its influence is like the little messenger of the gods, you know, with the winged feet. So it's like a lot of times the Mercury influence is quick and fast, and it kind of goes by. But each of these time frames leave what I call kind of a watercolor wash, you know, for the year. It's like I think of painting a pastel. You had some challenging times in your Venus time frame because you've got three nines for the whole entire year. Two of them were in Venus. You had a nine of clubs and a nine of spades. A lot of times nines can indicate either losses of some sort. Clubs are about, you know, scholarly pursuits, again, you know, communication stuff. Spades can indicate that possibly there was some kind of health problem, either with yourself or with someone else. But nines are always indicative of some kind of transformation. One door closes, another door opens. So there may have been that either in the relationship area or, you know, in relation to, I don't know, I'll say health and healing or, you know, your communications, you know, class or something like that. It turned right around, though, and you got in Mars, you had double eights, eight to the power cards, you had an eight of hearts, you had an eight of clubs. The eight of clubs is one known as one of the most psychic cards in the deck next to the king of clubs, which, you know, indicates your own intuition can be running really high. Also, Mars is a time frame where deals with men, deals with legal things, things like that. With the two eights being very powerful and right there, it would have indicated that even if you'd had some trouble, you know, you'd have, you know, gone through that fairly easily and just really overcome that. The Jupiter time frame gave you a three of diamonds and a two of hearts. Threes are about creativity. I'll say on the high side, the high and low side of the odd number cards. The threes give you a lot of creativity, but if you don't funnel it, it can be worry and stress. And where it's worry and stress about, you know, diamonds, that's either about your values or about your monetary stuff. So you might have had some back and forth with, you know, either being very creative with bringing money in or very stressed about you didn't have enough. With that two of hearts there in the Jupiter time frame could have indicated that you might have had like a partnership or, you know, with somebody who, you know, could have helped the finances, something like that. Anytime there's a two show up, it's always about being in partnership with someone in one way or another. With it being a heart, it might have been in a relationship, and again, the relationship might have been very positive for, you know, financial type stuff. Now, then you turned around, you went into Saturn, and you had a two of clubs, which is pretty good, and you had a nine of diamonds. That was your other nine. Nines in the Saturn time frame. Saturn is always kind of the taskmaster. Anyway, it's kind of our, you know, karmic come around. It's our challenging time of the year. That, again, would have been one door closing, another door opening type of stuff. So there may have been some closure on some kind of financial type things. And with that two there could have been if, you know, you had some possibilities with being, let's say, in partnership with somebody, again, in the learning teaching areas. It would have kind of countered that, kind of offset that a little bit. So you might have had some financial loss. But, you know, on the other hand, it's like if you get into that financial partnership or you're into that partnership with the creativity with the writing and communicating, it would have come out much better for you. Saturn always indicates hard work, though. There's always, you know, something the karmic scales are balancing. Into the Uranian time frame, which is where you're at now, thank God for a breath of air. You've got a seven of spades and an eight of diamonds. And then that eight of diamonds continues on to your Neptune time frame, too. So you'll finish off the year, I'll say, strong, because eights are the power cards. And with that finances, it's like, looks like, you know, the finances will definitely be on an upswing. With the seven, though, in the Uranian time frame, Uranus is kind of like, I know Ron has explained this, I always call it the double lightning bolts, but it's, we call it like the waves of the mind. But it's always unexpected. It's, you know, things that we don't expect. Sevens are about, you know, have a little faith, you know, and this is going to come to you. So sevens can be with your work. They can also be, you know, just be cautious of, you know, don't work so hard that you make yourself sick, you know, kind of make sure you're taking care of yourself. But with that positive eight there, you know, that's really a good thing. It's like you may find unexpected finances in some place you didn't think it was going to be, but just, you know, it's really ending on a rosy note, I'll say for you, because, you know, with the two eight of diamonds there, there's going to be possibly some changes in values that might in turn change how you look at the finances. So that's kind of the overview through the year. It's like kind of looking ahead at the other one, though. When you hit 39, your long-range card for that one is going to be an Ace of Hearts. So be a very different energy for your 39th year than what you've had for this year with your 38th year. So is any of that making any sense? Can you relate to any of that?
Yes. Yeah. Some of it, you know, I'm going to have to go back and listen to it because I couldn't keep up with it.
Going by really fast.
Yeah. But definitely.
Well, can I tell you something, Kelly? This is the weirdest thing. I've never had this happen to me. Okay. What is your name again?
Melissa.
Okay. Melissa, I knew that, but I had to hear it again. This is the weirdest thing. Do you know that you're intuitive or spiritual?
Yes.
Okay. So you know what came in front of me? And usually they're people. You know, Kelly will tell you, I find the dead. Okay. Do you know what came in front of me was, and I don't know if you'll understand this, but it was Yoda. Yoda, and he said something about
Star Wars. Love him.
Yeah. I know, and I don't know whether he's a guide or it's from a different planet, but he said that, do you know anything? Are you a sci-fi buff?
No, not really. But my son right now is really into that.
Aha. Okay, well, I'm seeing Yoda here. And what is said is that, and he's handing me, like, you know, when they hand me things, and I really, it's your symbol, not mine, so sometimes I'll tell you what's on it, and you kind of got to make sense of it, because sometimes I can get it, like, if they send me, like, flowers and roses, I'm okay, but this is, he handed me, and I mean, it's Yoda, it's really Yoda, and he might actually be one of your guides, actually, but he's handing me a plate of weird food. So does you or your family or your son eat weird food? And when I mean weird, everybody eats, you know, your weird might not be my weird, but the food on the plate did not look like normal food. So what I'm thinking is, do you have any type of diet that you guys have?
No. I prefer to eat healthy.
Yeah, they're showing me plants and, like, things, like growing out of the garden, which I love, but they have it on a weird platter. Like, so they're showing me, like, when they're showing me the plants, it's not like all these big green plants and all the, you know, they're so, I can tell they're spinach and lettuce, and I love all that. But it's the weirdest, they're showing me plants that are different than the plants, you know, we eat. So I'm just wondering if, like, you are in a vegan diet or some type of, I don't know if you eat like kale. I mean, I eat all that stuff, but I'm telling you, they're showing me like a garden, but it's not like normal vegetables. And what I also hear, yeah, it might be, I'm picking it up, and they're showing me also that you're very wise, that, you know, because Yoda is wise. So if I'm looking at it, he's telling me that you're very wise, and you just watch. And that you all be a teacher. You're really here to be a teacher in the spirit realm. So I don't know if you teach or you think about teaching, but what he's saying is that you're a leader in the spiritual realm. Doesn't mean you're here on earth that you're a leader, but what he's saying to me walking forward is that you are a spiritual teacher. I don't think it's on this life time, and I don't know that it's on this earth plane, but that, and it says that she knows. So I wonder if you feel this or you felt that you, and it kind of feels like he's saying that that you know, like he's saying that you are from, you that you have been from different planets. Now, I don't usually give that kind of reading, but that's what he's saying to me. So I wonder if you reincarnated here, you know, because we all have different lives. And this is kind of showing me sci-fi stuff. So I'm wondering, Kelly, if this isn't something from, like, a different planet that you were actually, before you came back to Earth here on this reincarnation, that you were from somewhere else. And that's kind of what I'm getting the feeling as. It was very, you know, I don't ever read like that. So this is something that's really coming clear.
I don't know how old her son is, but I keep getting this feeling like this might be a message for her son.
Yeah, well, I only get these messages. Like, she'll have to make, you know, clear about what they are. You know, I only get signs. So I do know that it says that she knows that she was a leader in the spiritual realm. So I do think it's up some of the messages for her. So, it might be a spirit guide, actually. To let her know that she's not really, if she doesn't feel like everything's always perfect on the earth plane, that it's because she has reincarnated and she has been on another planet, which she's been somewhere else. So that's kind of what I see.
I can relate to that.
I know you can. Go ahead.
It actually completely resonates with me. The weird things on the platter, not so much. I'm going to have to think about that. But everything else you said, I totally get.
Well, remember that if you can resonate with that, you're going to be eating different plants and stuff from another planet. You know, so it might be that it's from, you know, a past life. And actually, if you think about it, I know you'll get it because he's handing me that platter. So it's really interesting. I'm so in awe that you've allowed me to look into that because I haven't had Yoda. I'm not a science fi lover. I don't really think sci-fi is sci-fi. I think it's real. So I just never got into it. But I'm going to tell you, Melissa, I see it. I can feel it. I can taste it, not the plants on the plate. But I know what I'm seeing, and it's really interesting. That I'm just very honored that I am able to see you. So I hope, like, you can take this back, listen to the archives, because either Yoda is one of your guides telling me this. Because usually I have a person that comes, like a grandfather, a father, a great-grandfather, but I got Yoda sitting right in front of me. But please listen, and I am glad this all resonates with you, except the plants. But the plants will come because he is handing me again that platter. So what he's saying is maybe when you think about it, you'll understand. Maybe you're making foods look weird, or maybe you're taking healthy foods and making them look good for your son in weird ways so that he eats it. Whatever he's showing me, it is a plate of, like, weird-looking food. So, and again,
okay.
I can only give you the messages that I get, and I can see the plants. Do you have to force your son to eat plants?
You know, it seems like it's becoming that way. I never did before. In fact, he wanted salad every day, you know, things of that nature. And now it's kind of becoming a little bit of a hassle.
Well, you know what this might be, Melissa, actually? Oh, my goodness, I'm getting chills all over. Maybe it's telling you that if you disguise the plants in some, like, weird form, he'll eat them again. You know, like lettuce, if you make them purple or buy different color potatoes, because now they come in all those colors. You know, maybe what I can see, there are plants that we can eat, but they look weird. So maybe what he's handing me is a plate and platter and saying to you, find the way. Oh, goodness, he's here. Find the way to make him eat them again.
Put vegetables in Jell-O.
Yeah. Jell-O salad. Or take a bug and put it in Jell-O and see if he'll eat it. Because there he's got protein and then he's got color. But, you know, I just do have to tell you that it's the coolest thing I ever saw. And, again, I've got to get to the expert, Melissa. So I hope, you know, go back into the archives because what Kelly was telling you was so cool. I didn't even want to talk because she was so interesting, you know, telling you these things. And please call back when your next birthday is. I know that it sounds like crazy because you say, oh, why can't you look into the next one? But really the energy isn't there yet. Right, Kelly?
Right. Where she's at in the moment. It's like exactly. This is a snapshot of this moment in time.
Yeah. So call us and let Kelly read for you again on your birthday, okay?
I would love to. And thank you so much for sharing Yoda with me.
thank you, Melissa. My goodness, I'm so excited. I can actually see Yoda. Thank you, thank you, and have a great day. I love that. Oh, my God, Kelly, and I usually get people. I actually got Yoda. I mean, come on. Oh my gosh!
You know what it reminds me? It's like the scene. I don't know if you've watched them at all, but it's like there's a scene where Luke Skywalker meets Yoda for the first time, and it's like, and Luke's got his, like, I don't know, space sticks or whatever it is, and Yoda kind of swipes it from him and tastes it, and he says, "How you get so big eating food like this?"
That was
like,
Yeah. Oh, that is so weird. And this other thing is that maybe, you know, Yoda's a guy just showing me as Yoda, meaning that he's not from this planet. So he's not, but who knows? But I saw the robes and everything. All right, we've got to take your next caller. And your next caller is 541-0319. Yoda, you're done. So here we go. Hi, this is Bonnie and Kelly. Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I thought I disconnected. I was trying to raise the volume, and I thought I cut us off.
Nope, we got it. And you're live on air.
You're live on air. Hey, Bonnie Albert, Kelly Coulter on air. How can we help you today? Actually, you're going to get a reading by Kelly and see what comes through for me. But can I ask your name?
My name is Anna.
Anna. Go ahead for it, Kelly.
Alrighty. Just need your month, day, and age.
12/24 and the year also?
Your current age. Just what your current age is.
Oh, 61.
61. Okay. 12/24. Boy, you got gypped out of a lot of Christmases when you were growing up, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
Combined. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Lovely stuff there. Okay, so let's see. I know.
Santa Claus doesn't come in. Okay.
December, like, we never had Christmas and birthdays. We just, you know, people give us stuff and go, it's for the same thing. It's like, yeah, great thing.
I know. You know what? I got to tell you something, Anna. My friend who's a doctor, you know what he makes his wife do? And, oh, my goodness, I'm not even going to tell you because I know you went through this. They used to wrap his Christmas. He had a big thing. It was my girlfriend. He said, you're never going to wrap my birthday gift with my birthday gift and Christmas paper, because apparently that's what his parents used to do. They used to give him and say, well, we're giving you an extra Christmas present for your birthday, and he never, ever could stand that until he made my girlfriend wrap it. And I'm thinking to myself, how crazy could you be? She's only buying you another Christmas present and wrapping it in birthday present. But it's, you know, it's all the whole thing about gifts anyway that count. So it really didn't matter what paper she wrapped it in. But, you know, he would never eat the leftovers of Christmas either. She had to make a whole nother meal. And it had to be, you know, they're Italian, which I love Italian food. It had to be stuffed shells. So she went from turkey and ham to stuffed shells the next day, which I always love to see. I'm a stuffed shell.
Wow.
So, okay, go ahead. Now that I've told my story, go for it, Kelly.
All righty. Wow, that's a lot there.
Sorry, alrighty. I just had to tell you. I mean, you know, I'm on a roll. What can I say? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Read for Anna.
Okay. Well, Anna, you are a seven of hearts, and you have a nine of spades as your planetary ruling card. I'm going to give you your times and seasons, because you're starting still. You're in the first 52 days of Mercury here for you, because your personal year started, of course, December 24th, and it will go. Mercury will go until February 15th. February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, you start your Venus time. And Venus goes from February 15th till April 8th. Your Mars time goes from April 8th until May 30th. Your Jupiter time frame kicks in May 30th and goes till July 21st. Saturn goes from July 21st until 9/11, till September 11th. And then Uranus starts September 11th and goes till November 2nd. Then Neptune comes in November 2nd and goes, of course, until your birthday, which is 12/24. So there's your time frames, and it's like I say, you are still in that Mercury time frame, so you're still in the beginning of your year, which is really cool. The long-range card you have for this year, something you're going to be looking at a lot, is you have a five of hearts. And five of hearts is traditionally, like, you know, it's considered to be what they call a change of heart. So there may be some things you might be having, you know, a change of heart about this year, but that's really going to be your focus. So it might be that you're in the process either of, I don't know, separation, divorce, or, you know, maybe spouse is ill, something like that. But whatever it is, it's going to take a lot of your time, energy, and attention to handle it. Or it could be a year when you just are restless emotionally and you just kind of want to break out of current relationships or, you know, new friends, you know, things like that. Explore doing some different things with new people. It might involve some travel, which could take you away from loved ones at different times of the year, or one last possibility, because these are all just possibilities, you know, this is the way it could manifest, is that moving to a new home. Because a lot of times when you get a five, you want to geographically relocate. And if you fail that, it's like you might just find yourself rearranging your furniture in the house like every week. That was only one person I knew
oh,
that it seemed. It's like every week it's like literally, I'm rearranging again. It's like, wow, go for it. They shifted their energy all over the place. At the same time, you're going to find that you're really seeking many new emotional experiences. You're, you know, wanting to meet or, you know, meeting many new people as you progress through the year. It's going to likely be a basic change in the way you view relationships or marriage or friendships or, you know, just anything to do, you know, relationships with the heart. It's like, and it doesn't just mean, you know, your spouse or, you know, people, family, things like that. It's like all the relationships, you know, how you relate to the world around you. It's like, you know, the checker in the supermarket that you see every, you know, Wednesday when you go, or, you know, the person at the post office, things like that. People you see routinely, you know, in your life. It's just, you know, looking at relationships as a whole. So it's really a year of transition from one way of being in a relationship to another way of being in a relationship. And it just kind of deserves that acknowledgement as being just, you know, the place where your path is leading you, because this is definitely a time and place and space where this is, you know, kind of that stepping stone. It's the stepping stone year, okay? It's like, you know, you're going to be taking new paths to different places. Your key words for this is a year of changes in affection, travel, or one of meeting many new people, perhaps a major focus either on divorce or separation or moving to a new home. So that's, you know, kind of just kind of keep those in mind and go, okay, you know, all change may not be what I wanted it to be, but, you know, change is in the offing, and it's, you know, kind of an up-and-coming thing. Okay, let's look at some of the other things happening here. You've got a, for the long-range cards here, your Pluto card is a Four of Hearts, and the Result card is a Ten of Diamonds. And you've also got an Environment card, which is a Queen of Spades, and then a Displacement card, which is a Jack of Clubs. So we'll kind of look at that. The Pluto and Result card are kind of read as pair. It indicates, you know, the challenge that you're facing, and then the Result card is kind of how you, you know, resolve it and get around it. So with that Pluto card being the Four of Hearts, usually that's about stability. You know, you're trying to get some stability. It's a year of major focus on either concept of marriage or on your own family or your closest relationships. So if you're already married, you know, there may be some new stimuli that you're going to need to kind of, you know, mentally digest in order to maintain balance in your relationship, either with your, you know, spouse or your loved ones, you know, that surround you. There could likely be aspects either, you know, of marriage or relationship that are causing some difficulties for you at this time. It could be just kind of challenging at times, because these are issues that you really haven't dealt with, you know, recently. It's like, so it's kind of like revisiting, you know, dusting the book off and kind of revisiting some of these things. On the flip side, if you're single, you might just be, you know, considering the concept of marriage or, you know, being in a relationship, and that could be challenging too, to integrate that new type of energy or idea into your life. Often when the Four of Hearts is Pluto card, the Result card might be the birthday card of someone that you want to get married to or, you know, be in a relationship with. If so, it's likely that the two of you might end up together, though not necessarily married, you know, by your next birthday. It's not a strong influence for actually getting married unless, you know, you have other marriage cards elsewhere in your yearly spread that kind of haven't looked at just yet. But it just may be a year that prepares you for, you know, an eventual marriage or a long-term relationship. It can also mean you're striving to have more success in your family life in general, which would include, you know, your children, if you have children, your home, you know, again, all the relationships, not just, you know, relationships, I'll say just, you know, in general, you know, relationships. And it's kind of broadening your circle and figuring out, kind of like that movie Pocahontas that Disney put out, there's a song there that says, "We are all connected to each other in a circle and a hoop that never ends." So it's like, it may just be, you know, when you throw that rock in the pond and you see the ripples out, you realize that relationships are about everybody that's in your world. In general, with Four Hearts, you know, you're kind of looking to have more stability and security in terms of affection and friendships this year. In that position, might also imply that to have that stability, you kind of have to take some new avenues of approach in those key areas of your life and kind of, you know, look in the mirror and say, okay, now what am I doing? And we're going to, again, we're going to look at that result card for more details about how that fits into. The affirmation for this one is marriage, home, and family stability transforms me. I'm creating a successful marriage or family life and new relationships. I create love, satisfaction, and security with my relationships. Okay, and that Ten of Diamonds is the result card. The Ten of Diamonds, happen to know that one because, again, got a girlfriend who's, that's her birth card, and it's called the Blessed card. So it's really
a strong card.
You're the ace of
diamonds. Kelly, that's my card. Get it over here.
Card.
Get away from poor. Yes, and I'm sorry, you cannot have the card. I'll switch it with you.
Okay, you know that. But with that Ten Diamonds as your result card, the result of this year's major goals and challenges, which, you know, we're talking about with that being the four, represented by that Pluto card, somehow also can involve a large sum of money or financial success. You might actually achieve considerable prosperity as you, you know, you kind of expand your values to include the needs of those around you, your community, you know, your country. It's like, you know, that ripple is really big. The further you expand your vision, the more you can make. And it could represent taking your products and services, you know, to the public in a major way. I mean, if you're not an entrepreneur, you know, this is really a good time, you know, to look at something that you really believe in and do some kind of home business. Your affirmation for that one is, I create financial abundance or end up with a large sum of money. This year, I expand my values, because it's not only just about money, but it's also about your basic values. So some way, shape, or form, your basic values are really being expanded and brought forth. The environment card, we're going to look at that one a little bit too. It's kind of generically considered the one of the, I'll say, the blessing cards. And let's see, that one, what did I say that one was, is the Queen of Spades. And the queens in the royal house, those are usually about, you know, you tend to be a nurturer, for, you know, for starters. What's your environment card? It's blessings and good fortune this year. It's going to come through hard work, organization, and spiritual self-mastery. Anytime it's a spade, you can always figure you don't get the rototiller to do the garden. You're going to do it with a hand spade. So it's hard work. But it's an important year when you could actually make some important inner changes that could alter the way you perceive your life and in turn alter your destiny. You know, this is one of those kind of turning points. In particular, you might find it relatively easy to achieve some kind of measure of self-mastery this year that really seems to attract everything you need without you having to work so hard for it. So kind of think of, you know, Rhonda Byrne with the Secret. You know, kind of looking at some of those things, it's like that, the attitude of gratitude, you know, all those things that attracting, that law of attraction. So though that card indicates success through hard work, you can also benefit from going within internally and learning how to attract what you want without quite so much effort. Okay. And if you're a woman, benefits are going to come through your role as, you know, wife, mother, romantic partner. Everyone else is going to benefit from the relationship with spades women, you know, of all denominations there. So, in fact, yeah, you're a heart person. So it's like, yeah, anybody that you know in your life who's like, of the spade suit, it's like it's going to be a very positive year for interaction with them. Okay, and the very last one there for the five, your displacement card is the Jack, one of those notorious Jacks. The Jack of Clubs, but there are good sides to Jacks. Don't knock the Jacks yet, Bonnie.
I won't, I promise.
The creative projects. See, now, the Jacks are also very creative. See, they may be crafty, but they're also creative. Creative projects that you may be involved in this year could prove to be a little bit burdensome of time. It could take more time and energy than you anticipated. Or dealing with others who are less than honest could also prove challenging. So this is one of those where I do say, yes, watch your pocketbook, you know. Don't get your purse snatched, things like that, okay. It would be in your best interest to remain very straightforward with all of your personal and business relationships this year and really resist any temptation to get involved in anything that might even have a shade of gray, okay? So just really make sure that things are on the up and up. It might actually be a successful year by most standards, but, you know, so as long as you stay on the high side of light there, okay? So just don't get involved with anything that might be questionable. What's happening on a deeper level is that you are being called upon to rise to a new level of communication, thinking, and perception. One that's based on higher principles, more self-responsibility, you know, in the spiritual realm there. In that light, you might be exposed to some new philosophies that challenge you to make some changes in your life along those lines. Contact with spiritual books, workshops, et cetera, is going to be very helpful, you know, in that regard. Just watch yourself for a tendency towards stubbornness here. Because a fixed mind, you know, if you really have a, you know, fixed ideas and you're really not open to change, it's hard to make that change. You know, you've really got to go into it with the open mind of, you know, I am able to learn, you know, new things that I want to learn these because it's actually going to improve, you know, what I'm doing this year. Where you're at right now in Mercury, you've got a two of diamonds and a nine of spades. Two of diamonds is always a good card for partnerships. And again, you know, that anytime there's diamonds, I know, I keep hearing that diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend, girlfriend.
But there's a possibility for business communication or meeting that come and goes quickly because anything in Mercury has, you know, quick influence. It could be unexpected or just, you know, fleeting money deal or partnership, you know, or a sudden business deal that requires some short trips. Also possible is either maybe some kind of financial arrangement with either like a relative, like, you know, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. Under Mercury, that partnership might happen suddenly and just last a short time only. It just may be a quick investment that pays off quick returns. But just kind of be ready for the unexpected. It's going to, whatever it is going to happen, you know, Alice in Wonderland. And quick and fast, they came at last and more and more and more, and it's like, and then they went away. So it's going to be a quick turnover there. And then that other card, that underlying one, is that Nine of Spades. And that one is not so bueno. It's like could bring like sudden illness, accident, or trouble, you know, with work or, you know, when you're out and about. So just kind of be aware moment. That could be disappointing. But, again, if this is Mercury, it's not going to last long. It just could be, you know, either sudden loss of work or unexpected bad news or, you know, problem encountered on a short trip, you know, accident, just some kind of trouble with a brother or sister, you know, a sibling or a relative, something like that. But so for now, it's best to kind of slow down, just take things at a safe pace until that period's over. Watch out for negative attitudes. The old adage is, you know, haste makes waste. So just make sure, you know, it's things like make sure you got your keys in hand when you walk out the door so you don't lock yourself out of your house or lock yourself out of your car, things like that. So just, you know, take a moment, take a beat, and don't get in a major hurry. All nights represent completion and endings also. So that other Mercury card that was at the two of diamonds, you know, just represents or indicates what's in your life now that might be coming to an end. It could also indicate the net result of your letting go or, you know, when you give more background information, okay, on that. So that two of diamonds, let's see. Let me go back with that just a little bit. Take another little look to see if that two of diamonds and see if it had anything else in there. Okay. Just that, yeah. I would just say, you know, just maybe some cautionary things. So it's like with the financial things, that kind of stuff. Again, just have that. Make sure everything's on the up and up. You know, it could be a positive transaction, you know, or it could be, you know, it could be a loss. So just kind of, just kind of be aware. You know, don't get in a big hurry to do things, and don't let people, I'll say, pressure you and go, oh, you know, you got to do this, like, right now. You know, you've heard those hype yourself, and just like, you know, got to do it. This is, you know, 110 deal, blah, blah, blah. It's like when somebody starts pressuring you really, you know, a lot like that, that's when you take a breath, you take a step back, and you really take a hard look at it. So don't let somebody coerce you into doing something if your gut feeling says, no, that doesn't feel good to do. You know, it's like because there'll be a better opportunity to come along. So that makes sense in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, right. I got to ask you, can I break in here real quick? Because we only have like five minutes. Okay. And I don't know. Are you, Kelly, did you? No, I want you to finish up, Cal, because this will be the end. So
okay.
I just, go ahead. Go ahead and finish up.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay. I have a spirit here for it. No, me, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So, okay.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I'll do this really quick. You can, you know, maybe hopefully she'll call back and we can kind of go over some of these. She's got in Venus coming up, you know, those time frames given. She's got a Queen of Clubs and a Three of Diamonds in her Venus time. She's got a Seven of Clubs and a Three of Hearts in her Mars time. She's got the Jupiter time as a Ten of Spades and a Nine of Hearts. So it's like that Ten of Spades and Jupiter is really, you know, really good stuff happening there. Saturn, she's got an Eight of Hearts and a Two of Hearts. And, you know, things of the heart in Saturn, you know, the work there. Uranian time frame, she's got the Queen of Diamonds and the King of Hearts. And finishing up her year, she'll have the King of Hearts in Neptune. So that's kind of the quick and dirty overview. And it's like, you know, hopefully, like I said, she'll call back and we can go over another time frame and go over some of the other things that, you know, the road signs looking ahead for what might possibly be coming up.
Well,
take it away.
You know what? Okay, Anna, I've got to ask you, and this will be briefly. Do you have, are you married? Okay, well, that's good. I mean, that's, I know you're not, but I just wanted to make sure because, you know, you never know. Yeah, I don't want to say mm-hmm. something, and I know Kelly was talking a lot about your relationships. But do you have I've got somebody here that's more like a grandfather, great-grandfather in spirit.
Okay.
Do you know who I let me describe him, and maybe you'll be able to know who this is. He's kind of a meticulous-looking man, like he's very neat. And I hate to say that because some of them aren't, but he has his shirt tucked in. He's got a little bit of a belly, and he's got a belt. So he wears his belt. He wears his shirt tucked in, and it looks like a button-down shirt. Do you know who this is?
It could be my father's father. Both of my grandfathers died quite a while ago, so they passed a while
ago.
Okay,
well, he's also showing me a pinky ring or a ring on his pinky, or maybe he's showing me a ring on his finger. So I don't know if either one of them wore a pinky ring, or maybe you do, but they're showing me a pinky ring on his finger or a big ring. I don't know if it's a pink. I'm sorry?
No, I wear rings. I wear pinky rings, and I used to make rings.
Okay, well, that's what they're showing me. So, and he's also saying to me that you're a good girl, that you're not so lucky in love. That's why I wanted to ask you about if you were married. And I didn't want to say that as were. But because sometimes they just talk and you can't tell them what to say. So, and this your grandfather said she's an angel on earth. She's skeptical, but she loves her family, and he's saying that you kiss. I'm sorry for saying this. He said that your kiss, and this I had with another one today, so it must be the whole kissing toads thing. They all must have got together. But he said that you kiss a lot of toads to get to your leapfrog eventually. So he says you're kissing a lot of toads here, and he says you manage your time well, but you don't manage your heart well. Do you understand what that means?
I guess, yeah, okay.
and I wasn't really paying attention to him because I was paying more attention to Kelly, and he said, pay attention to me, because he wanted me to listen to him to tell you that she is special, and you are just like your grandma, is what he wants you to know. And he's sending out a lot of love to you, Anna. I hope that's made sense to you, and you can go listen in the archives. I know that you've gotten a quick reading here with this, but he is here, and I do see him, and he does want me to acknowledge him, and he does want me, he's here, and he does want me to tell you that you are very loved, even though you might not have felt all the time that you were. He is saying about your grandma, and I don't know, did you know your grandma?
Well, all of my grandparents are passed, so yeah, I did know them. But
you said that you're just like your grand. Now, which grandma would you have been more like? But you know, they all think they're like you. You know, they all say, "Oh, she's just like me." But you know, it could be that you, like my grandmother. I know, you know, one of my grandmothers ever goes, "Oh, you look just like your grandmother." I didn't look like either one of my grandmothers, but they all said I look just like my grandmother. So just to tell you that the guy that's stepping forward said you're just like your grandma, and there's a lot of hearts and stars circling up, circling around that. And so what it is telling you is that you're in love, you're being loved, and that the reason he says you're just like your grandma is because he loved your grandma. So whichever one that is, that's him. And
Yeah, I wish I knew which one, because I'm more like my mother's mother, I think. The one who you described sounded more like my other grandfather. But then my mother's grandfather died when I was pretty young, so I don't really remember how he dressed. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going to tell you that if you would see him, you would know. I mean, I could see him distinctly, and most, you know, I can tell. Usually, it tells me they're meticulous. I can see he's very well dressed. It might not be that it's expensively dressed, but he's well dressed. Very meticulous, because I can see that he likes looking neat, and not everybody does. You know, I get people in here in jeans and t-shirts, and you know, and farmer outfits and blue work pants. But he's not showing me that.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing me he's well dressed. Okay, and the belt is a big thing. So it's not that it's that big. The belt isn't that thick. But he's showing me the belt, meaning that he's proud that he wears his shirt tucked in. So you can ask your parents, you can ask anybody, and you can find out who this is. But I know
no,
that
there's no one left to ask. They're all gone.
Yeah.
They're all on the other
side. Yeah. I've got to tell you that I've got four or five of them standing here with me. So I know that this is the one that came to talk to you. And I hope that, you know, he said you're very, very loved and that they watch over you. And I could count about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can count about 5 of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's standing in front talking, and the other ones aren't. So that's why I'm giving you the message from him. But they're really happy that they got to see you and that they got to at least speak their voice to you. And I hope that you take this away being felt very loved and that your family is with you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have
a great day. And I will
Thank
talk
you.
To you. We hope. Call us back. Like us. Just Facebook me. How you like it. How, you know, if you've resonated with it. We know that I can't change anything that I hear from Spirit. So I do know that you got a great reading and that I can feel the love that they had for you. So have a great day and have a great evening. And I hope to hear from you again.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Kel? Hi, Kelly.
Yes. Thank you. I'm just listening going, wow, that's awesome. It's like I can feel the love from here going, yeah. It's like they're holding hands in a circle around her going, just love. It's like, oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. I mean, they were there. So excited. Yeah, I love Spirit. Come with me, come to me, come around me, and come through me. What am I saying? But anyway, I just want to tell you, I want to tell our audience that thank you. I did not have chat open, Kelly, because my computer, I don't have it. Yesterday, something happened. I take the computer in. I finally learned how to open chat, and then I can't get one of the windows down. So that, I didn't have time to really, yeah. I didn't have any
That's
time to really
find
look.
You on chat. Okay.
Yeah, so I know
makes
we
sense.
Didn't have all of our callers and listeners. We normally do, but it'll be open again. And we have a guest tomorrow I want to tell everybody about. Her name is Laura Pierrot, and she is, it's really interesting. She's got a lot of interesting qualities. And, Kelly, you need to call.
Cool.
She is an intuitive energy and sound healer. As a spiritual channel, healer and teacher.
Nice.
Channels her own healing system. She is going to take callers, and we would love you to call in, Kelly. So I want to thank you. You know I love you. We all appreciate everything you offer us your time, and we just You can't even imagine how much we appreciate you, and I appreciate you, and our callers and listeners, and usually our chat. But please, everybody, have a good evening, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, 1 to 3, with our guest, Laura Pira. And please come back, listen, and remember, love is in the airwaves. Sal, you want to say goodbye with me? Bye, everyone.
Bye. And thank you for having me on. I appreciate that, too. It's fun being here. It's just fun being with you.
Oh, I love, you know what, Kelly? I love you to death. For life, as Susan would say. I love you, Kelly, and you are always here with me. And sparkle, right. Stars, and hearts are all around you. Have a great day.
And we'll be